Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This will be the second lesson on the home that we intend to study for a period of several weeks. In our program yesterday, we talked about the direction in which the homes seem to be going, and they don't seem to be going the way that God wants the home to be. We want homes to be as God approves, and of course God wants a Christian home. We must remember that what is sown will also be reaped, and what we're sowing in our homes is not conducive to a good nation. Now, we talked about one of the problems in the home, of course, is women going outside the home and forsaking the duties of the home, and men forsaking their responsibilities toward those who are their family. We also talked about the drinking of alcohol and the problems that it causes everything that it touches. But now we want to talk about divorce. You see, divorce is occurring in alarming rates. It's even occurring among some who are members of the church. And while it is still far less than in society generally, one or two in society, we have more and more professed so-called Christians who show they really do not respect God's laws concerning marriage and the home. Even less do they respect His teaching regarding divorce and remarriage. And to accommodate this growing sin, even among Christians, sometimes we're bombarded with doctrines that rather appease those in sin rather than provoking and encouraging the sinners to repent and to correct their lives. So many have partaken of the sinful ways of the world that many preachers and teachers and even elders have decided, well, we must, as they say, love them and teach them something different from what God has said, and that's not love. And try to present some plausible dodge around what God has said so that they can just go ahead and accept an adulterous union among us. Well, we'll talk about more about when we talk about marriage in our studies, but this shows the direction of the home. And schools have contributed to the undermining of teaching that's done in godly homes, even the erosion of the home itself. Of course, false doctrines about marriage and divorce and remarriage, that sometimes occurs in schools even operated by people who profess to be Christians. But just as what one do think the teaching of evolution does to the reliability of the Bible, yet in our schools, evolution is taught as a fact. And friend, that's a lie. Even schools supported by brethren sometimes will allow those who have been schooled in evolution to continue to teach there. Now, there are required texts that compromise with evolution. This is glaringly apparent in the public schools, which is a matter that has become one of the most poisonous enemies of the Lord's church in our day. In schools, they teach values and doctrines that are opposite to what God has revealed. And when they have destroyed people's acceptance of the Bible, they destroy what the Bible teaches regarding the home. Friend, do you realize that even homosexuality and lesbianism is presented in the schools as an acceptable lifestyle, even to small children? Friend, that's a violation of the laws of God. Humanism has become the philosophy that is the loudest theme in public education and in the schools of higher learning. Well, the evidence of the decline of the home is staggering. It's obvious that the home has been going in the wrong direction for several decades. And while this is not pleasant to realize, we might as well realize the truth about it. Sadly, too many don't seem to really care. But everything about the home, of course, is not bad. We should not conclude that all in the American home has fallen victim to the devil. There are godly homes, governed by godly parents, rearing godly children. But this discussion has to do with the present trend, the downward spiral of the home, and the conclusions are too pronounced. But all the homes do not produce divorce. All the homes do not produce delinquent children. And it is because these homes respect God and His Word. This is why the task of taking the truth of God to the world is so pressing with respect to the quality and the spiritual welfare of the occupants and the inhabitants of our homes. Well, what is it that must be done? Well, it's one thing to recognize a trend, but quite another to do something constructive about it, and in this case, to try to turn it around to what it ought to be. There are efforts that should be made. Parents need to show their young what a godly home is. Often divorce breeds divorce, just like stability breeds stability. Many young people never know a good home. They marry without the knowledge of a good home. And when they marry and their homes break down, why, they consider that just about normal. That's what they've been led to expect because that's what they experienced in their upbringing. Well, there should be more preparation for marriage by more teaching of God's will for the home and the family. You know, it's easier to prevent a problem than it is to correct one. And preparation for marriage is a great preventive to problems in the home. And to prepare for marriage, one must come to an understanding of God's will concerning marriage and the home. Married people must sever all ties with whatever puts a strain on the stability of marriage and the home. It might be associates, jobs, recreation, location. We often monitor and police through television, but sometimes people don't. And what comes over it most often in the name of entertainment, friend, is nothing but spiritual and moral garbage of hell by those who are the servants of the devil, with every kind of immorality you can possibly think of, with every sort of sin paraded as being acceptable. On television, you'd think fornication is acceptable. Drunkenness is acceptable. Homosexuality and violence and murder and killing and hate and divorce, that's all acceptable on television. On an average day on the soaps, you hear nothing in the world but sexual perversion. Great entertainment, isn't there, for people who want to please God? Well, we cannot strengthen the home and the ties of marriage and the family except there be worship, personal prayer, righteous activities together, attendance at worship, family reunions that stress godly heritage, the learning and practicing of the golden rule. Now, the greatest gift a parent can give his child are principles and specifics that show the sanctity and the uniqueness of a godly home where the will of Jesus Christ reigns supreme. Now, sometimes the question is asked of a parent whose children are noted for being what they ought to be. And the parent is asked, what did you do that your sons or daughters are as they are, because they are most commendable and respectable? Well, it's generally conceded that providing one or two things is almost impossible. Good children are formed by living before them good lives. It is not so much one big thing as it is daily little things combined. But we can say with confidence that teaching them a respect for the Bible is absolutely essential. Whatever advice could be given parents regarding their children is that human wisdom cannot displace or replace divine wisdom. It's like Edgar A. Guest once wrote, it takes a heap of living to make a home. You see, good homes produce good people. Good homes produce good churches. And we'll study a subject specifically on that particular matter. But good homes exist where each member of the family strives to live faithfully before God. Our homes can be what God approves, but only if we will listen and apply what He says. Sometimes we feel so terribly helpless, As we hear and we read about the deterioration of home and see children going astray, watching the nation digging its own grave by ignoring the family and the home. And while none of us as individuals ever make a great impact on the world, some might, but most won't, not even on the nation, not even possibly on the community where we live. We can start now to make our homes more in keeping with the divine pattern. We should consider Noah. Noah saved his children from a world that was so degenerate that God destroyed it. And consider Hannah, Samuel's mother. She gave her child into the service of God. She did this even as the nation generally were going away from God. Well, once a person asked me why anybody would want to bring a child into this dismal and sinful world where things seemingly are going from bad to worse. Well, I could only respond that we needed children so that we might train them God's way and work and pray that they will keep the light of truth burning brightly in this darkened world of sin, even in their own generation, just like it's our responsibility to keep it burning brightly in our time. We can provide for God's tools. They can be God's tools for his service. He can be God's tools through our children if we will make them that way. And so may God help us and them in the midst of a present onslaught against his divine will, his onslaught against this divine institution, this onslaught from which all of society comes, this attack that so many are making upon the God-given home, and we can make it to the salvation of ourselves, the salvation of our nation, the salvation of our children, and of our children's children, the salvation of many of our friends and neighbors. Our homes ought to be what God would have them to be. Now, as we continue our study on the home, the next area of study is going to be where we emphasize the fact that the home is the foundation of society. We mentioned this at the outset of our very first lesson, but we want to stress that and show that that is true. It has been said that the nearest thing to heaven on earth is to be a member of a Christian home. Well, a Christian home is the kind of home God wants. Those who have been blessed with such a home, they will agree. It has been a great and wonderful blessing to be a part of a Christian home. You see, Christ has given us principles to be followed and will make the home what it ought to be. And with a prayer that after studying these lessons, we will try very hard to make our home and put forth the effort on our children to make the home a Christian home, to make it something that we will be proud of, we will be so blessed to be a part of, and God's name will be glorified. Well, in our next lesson, we're going to study the foundation of society. You keep in mind, the stream is first begun by the spring. The stream will never rise higher than the spring from which it flows. The home is the spring from which society flows. And so we want to make that home a righteous spring so that there will be a righteous society. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.